Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's an appropriate time for me to, I think, remind everybody, I've shared this on my show before, but I wanted to share specifically with all of you why I don't let often conservatives sort of prattle on my show. I will try to allow them to answer the questions that I am asking them. But I have a few rules, and it seems to me that it would be a good time to refresh our recollections about the rules for debating Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show. And the first one is you don't deflect. And deflection includes the whatabouts, okay? If we're talking about Donald Trump and Washington, D.C., and what the actual crime statistics are, and how that was not reflected in any way, shape, or form, and what the president said this morning, the fact that he lied to the American people so that he can seize control of local law enforcement in Washington, D.C., that's the topic. That's what we're sticking with. The second rule is don't disinform. If you start lying about things, I will cut you off. And thirdly, don't disrespect. Don't stereotype, dog whistle, none of that. So don't deflect, don't disinform, and don't disrespect, and I will let you have as long as you need to get your point out within reason. My man CJ, I know you're listening because you're still texting me. You don't do that. You deflect every time. I know that sometimes the facts as a Trump supporter are difficult to grapple with, but that's our job together, me and you. If I was talking about Joe Biden's border policy, that's what we would be talking about. But that's not what the discussion was about. So those are the rules for debate on this show and this program. Appreciate all of your patience with that little public service announcement here. We're talking floods and fascism. I got Matt Rothschild with me this hour. And for the whole show, you can find him here every Monday with me. I really appreciate Matt being here and each and every one of you. 855-752-4842. Right before the break, and then we're going to the phones, I had shared what Donald Trump said about cash bail in Washington, D.C. Let's re-up that because I need to debunk and was rushed in doing so before the end of last break. Let's take another listen to Cut 5.
Radical left city council adopted no cash bail. By the way, every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it.
Like, that is just such an abject and complete lie. First of all, crime in New York City down. I could go into that. Cash bail is a system upon which rich people, before they're proven guilty of any crime, get to stay out of jail, and poor people, before they're convicted of any crime, have to stay in jail because they're poor. That's cash bail. Those jurisdictions that have gotten rid of cash bail do so by replacing it by a dangerousness analysis as well as seriousness of the charged crime. That makes sense to me so that we don't have two justice systems, one for billionaires and 100 millionaires and Donald Trump, who is the beneficiary of no cash bail and every single one of his criminal charges, and not a different system for us regular folks who can't afford cash bail. Diatribe over on that one, Matt. I wanted to give you a chance to comment on it as well.
You know, cash bail is so discriminatory on the basis of income. I was just talking to a friend of mine who for something that he had his worst day and misbehaved and was in jail, was able to get out on cash bail. But he said there were people there who couldn't pay the $100 of cash bail or the $200 or the $500. And yet he was able to get out, and he's turned his life around, and I'm grateful for that. But yeah, there are people, you know, who have committed the so-called, the same alleged offense, and some are walking free and some are sitting in jail, and that's just not right.
Not right. We've got Brett from Brown Deer. Say hello to Matt. What's your comment this afternoon?
You call it Brett? Matt.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did I get your name wrong, sir? From Brown Deer. You're welcome to the show. Hello.
Oh, hi. This is Brett.
Brett.
I'm sorry, 2000, I want to correct CJ on something. In 2010, I lived out in D.C., Virginia, and I left my job and I became an Uber driver driving the night shift for 5 years. And I never had any problems. The city is not up. There's one or two areas that are a little bad, but it's not a dangerous city. Then I moved to Milwaukee, where I'm home, my home. And I drove Uber in Milwaukee for 3 years. At night, the drunk shift, I saw people all the time out in the city walking around holding hands. Milwaukee they're making you afraid of something, and I don't think CJ ever experienced it, because I don't think CJ would go downtown Milwaukee just for that reason.
Thanks so much, Brett. I really appreciate it. Just the fact check. Like, that's not the experience most people have in Washington, D.C. or Milwaukee or any of these other cities. It's just stupid and a lie and a dangerous one, because it distracts us from the real dangers that face our families, like the extraordinary flooding that we saw over this past weekend. I promised you some resources. Give me 1 second to get all of this out. Just by the way, one of the things that climate change does is, as the temperature on the planet warms, clouds tend to hold more moisture. This means that when it rains, it will rain harder and longer. The other thing that more moisture in the atmosphere, because we have a warming climate, does is it tends to have weather systems move more slowly. So the exact things that made this tragedy this weekend so much worse is because of climate change. That's what's going on here. And we have elected officials, Donald Trump, who's got billionaire overlords and the billionaire owners of the oil industry pulling his chain, that doesn't want to do anything about it. There are more people in our city and in our state that are being impacted economically and on a health basis by climate change than any of the nonsense that Donald Trump or CJ spews on a daily basis. Here are some things, just some safety tips and resources to keep in mind. To report property damage, such as flooded basements, collapsed walls, lighting, electricity, please call 211. That is 211. To report flooding in your streets, downed trees, or other public works damage, you can visit the City of Milwaukee's website at milwaukee.gov/click4action. There are two Red Cross shelters if you are needing housing, food, medical support, anything like that. They are located in Holler Park on 5151 South 6th Street, as well as the Washington Park Senior Center on Valete Street in Milwaukee. We'll put those resources in our show chat for today. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Linda from Waukesha. Say hello to Matt. What you got for us, Linda?
Hi, Matt. Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Linda.
Thank you for cutting CJ short as much as you did, because I get really tired of hearing the BS out of his mouth. Anyway, I am so ahead of what a lot of this is going on in the news, that what Donald Trump is doing is systematically strategic placement, for example, of the judges, of his disposal crew, or whatever you want to call those people who I believe were in.
Ooh, Linda, we're getting some weird feedback. I think Linda's point, and Matt, you and I were talking about this a little bit, is Donald Trump priming the pump, making people psychologically open to this sort of slow moving takeover by the Trump administration of all sorts of government, local and state government functions. It started in LA. We see it now without any factual basis at all. If you thought LA was maybe arguably defensible, you can't say that about Washington, D.C. That's just a pack of lies. To me, you look at Donald Trump forcing out people across all federal law enforcement agencies for completely bogus reasons, implementing loyalty tests, upping the budgets of law enforcement agencies, redeploying agents from our intelligence and law enforcement agencies to the border, to Border Patrol, these budgetary explosions, the loyalty tests. And it seems to me, Matt, along with all of these people he's stacking onto the courts, the removal of inspectors general, you add all of this together, and what you've got are people that are licensed to kill by government-sanctioned people who have pledged basically personal loyalty to Donald Trump, now in charge of law enforcement in our cities. This seems to me like Donald Trump trying to handpick a personally loyal army. You know, like, the catastrophizing here, we seem to every day be inching closer to it. Your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah, you know, during the first term or the first time he ran, I used to joke that he was Trumpolini, but it's not a joke anymore. I mean, this guy is a fascist leader. He just checks all the boxes for a fascist. The purges that you talk about. Jim Santel had a great section of his show over the weekend on all the purges at the FBI and DOJ and other places. The loyalty tests you mentioned. The fact that ICE is turning into his own personal secret police force. You know, and the fact that he's surrounded by fascists or sycophants, those are the only people around him, people who love, you know, the opportunism of being there and will, you know, kiss his feet, you know, or the people who believe the ideology that he is imposing on us all right now. And so this is a really scary time for our democracy. And, you know, I'm surprised in some ways that CJ doesn't recognize it, that he's just so much just on Team Trump, no matter what Trump does. Because I think it's somewhere in that brain of his has to be the memory of what a democracy is supposed to be. And, you know, the first time Trump ran and people didn't know who he was, okay, maybe you give him a pass. The second time I heard from some Trump supporters, well, he wasn't so bad the first time around. Well, guess what? He's really, really bad right now. And you can't whisk that under the rug.
Well, on that point exactly, Matt, thanks for queuing up this bit of news this afternoon. According to a UMass Amherst poll that was just out in the field, 14% of self-identified Trump supporters say if they knew now what they knew in November, they would not have voted for him. That would have changed the outcome of this election. Of that 14%, the breakdown is this: 6% would have voted for Kamala Harris, 5% would have voted for any other third-party candidate, and 3% would not have voted. In other words, if Donald Trump had been honest about his intentions as president and the tools that he would use to effectuate those promises, he would have lost the election. He was a liar then. He's a liar now. He was a liar today. We continue to take your calls and texts on the other side. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm back with Matt and each and every one of you after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.